welcome to season 14 of She Builds Podcast, where we share stories of women in the design and construction field, one lady at a time.
This season's theme is Anything Goes, a combination of regular episodes and charrettes based on anything inspiring us at the moment.
Quick reminder, we are not experts on history. We're just sharing stories about the information that we find as friends having a fun conversation.
If you find an error, send us an email and we will all continue learning.
I'm Jessica Rogers, doing laundry after a fabulous manicure based out of Miami, Florida.
Your nails look so great.
They're awesome. I'm obsessed.
And I'm Nurjiri Rivas, meal planning and organizing in Houston, Texas.
Nurjiri, do you know what month it is?
It's your favorite month of the year. It's March.
Yeah.
Which means we get to celebrate Women's International Day.
That's right. So March is also Women's History Month. Similar to the episode that we did a few weeks ago where we talked about the World's Fair, now for this week, we will get into the history of Women's Day.
Ooh, interesting. I know very little about this, and I'm excited to learn more.
All right, let's go. So we begin in New York City. The year is 1908. Industrial factories are buzzing with immigrant women entering the workforce, primarily in garment factories.
Does this remind you of the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory?
Yes, it does. Similar to the discussion of the World's Fair, I was wondering where our ladies were during this time. And that Frances Perkins episode immediately came to mind in particular, specifically that Triangle Shirtwaist Factory.
Yes, episode 28. We discussed that the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory fire that happened in Manhattan, New York on March 25th, 1911 was absolutely terrible. 146 workers died from the fire or smoke. Out of those 146, 123, meaning the overwhelming majority, were women and girls. Children were working under these unsafe conditions. There were a lot of problems, but one of the worst ones was that there weren't enough safe exits from the building. So when the fire started, they were basically trapped. It's sadly memorable because it's one of the worst industrial tragedies in the U.S., and it led to the U.S. adopting building codes.
Leading up to that tragedy, the conditions that were set were in the early 1900s, right? Similar to the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory, women were working not in the best conditions. So in 1908, women garment workers in New York were organizing, protesting, and striking for better working conditions, wages, and voting rights. On February 28th, 1909, the Socialist Party of America organized the first National Women's Day in New York City, and it centered on the topics that I was just referencing, the low wages, the long working hours, women's right to vote, and the unsafe working conditions.
Okay, so 2 years before the tragedy that we just talked about.
Exactly. So since then, it was noted that the last Sunday in February was basically meant to dedicate a specific day to women's political demands, activism, and industrial labor organizing. And that was the plan for 2 years.
Oh, I wonder why the date changed, but okay, I'm sure you'll get us there.
Patience.
I will practice patience, yes.
It is coming. Because there's going to be a lot of zooming in and zooming out, or country hopping, I guess. Currently, it's 1908, 1909, New York City. So now let's jump to 1910. Like I said, we go international, honey. So at an International Socialist Women's Conference in Copenhagen, there's activist Clara Zetkin that proposes something bold. What if women across countries organized on the same day?
Whoa. Clara Zetkin was a German Marxist theorist, communist, activist, and advocate for women's rights. She was considered far left. I wonder if the right wing and capitalists would have cared so early on and so strongly about women's rights if we would have it today. Actually, I don't wonder. I know. But anyway, I won't digress.
Either way, this idea gets passed unanimously might I add. So the following year, in 1911, over a million people rallied across Austria, Germany, Denmark, and Switzerland. So it has now become Women's International Day.
We've arrived.
Yes. So what's important, though, about the significance of this is not only its global recognition, but it's basically like a political rally cry. Women are demanding the right to vote, the right to hold public office, and basically equal opportunity.
Basic human rights to represent ourselves? What a concept. Okay, I'm still curious. How did it go from February to March, Jessica?
Well, maybe this will explain a little bit better. So in 1917, in Petrograd, Russia, women textile workers went on strike demanding bread and peace. It was during World War I. Food shortages were severe. Conditions were unstable.
I can imagine.
So their strike sparked mass protests. Those protests helped ignite the Russian Revolution.
Really? That Russian Revolution connection I've never heard about. Women igniting change left and right.
So the strike happened on February 23rd, but Russia was still using the Julian calendar. On the Georgian calendar, the one most of the world uses, that date was March 8th.
Oh.
So after that, March 8th became permanently tied to International Women's Day.
Okay, let's cover the difference in calendars so people can understand why the discrepancy, if they don't already know. The Julian calendar had been in use since 46 years before the Common Era. Then, about five centuries later, enter Pope Gregory VIII, introducing a new way to calculate days to better align with the solar year. So you can imagine it wasn't a quick and easy change for the whole world to take over this new calendar. It took time for the whole world to adopt it. Thus, Russia at the time was still doing their own thing, chicken wing, and as of the 20th century, the Gregorian calendar was ahead of the Julian calendar by about 13 days. Thus, February 23rd on one calendar being March 8th on the other.
Yes. Since we are talking about socialism and we're talking about countries and their socialist views, specifically countries in the Soviet and Eastern Bloc, let's bring it back to the States and their perceptions of these political attitudes happening abroad.
Well, like I was saying before, I can only imagine the U.S. being like, socialist ideas, no thank you. Though, in the Alice Constance Austin episode, we talked about how back then, socialism was not the bad word it later became. People were more open to it. They even had a big movement to start a huge socialist city. What episode was that, Jessica?
That was episode 138.
Listeners, check that one out if you want to hear more about that and hear how much I believe in capitalism, which, as it turns out, is actually a lot. Now, through the lens of 1911, I think the idea of adopting something the Soviets were doing maybe would be okay because they are literally our allies through the world wars. But if you fast forward to 1947, forget it. The Cold War starts. Soviets and all their ideas are public enemy number one.
Exactly. So from 1911 to about the 1960s-ish, the U.S. would celebrate Women's Day, but they would distance themselves from calling it International Women's Day solely on its connection with what they called Cold War politics.
I can see that.
So in the States, the fight for women's rights was still active. Going back to our ladies, you know, we have in the 1920s, the U.S. finally allowed women to vote and run for public office, which also reminds me of episode 125, Agnes Ballard.
The lady from Florida that became the superintendent of schools, right?
Yes, exactly.
Hey, designers and curious minds. Ever wondered about the stories hiding within your building's walls? I'm Carrie Seaburn, structural engineer and host of Unstruct, the podcast that decodes and simplifies major concepts of structural design. Behind the math and physics, structural engineering simply predicts building behavior. Join me as we simplify the complex, making structural design accessible to everyone.
Nowadays, instead of measuring it via cost, we're saying, well, what about carbon, you know? We've got two levers now that we can, if an architect has an inefficient design, we can hit them with two levers, if you like.
the official casualty figure is 55,000. Everybody I talked to told me that the actual figure is at least three times as much. And I believe that. I mean, seeing what I saw, Turkish codes are good, and they have been improving, but compliance was completely lacking.
Fluent in steel, concrete, masonry, and timber design, I'll bring you leading engineers to dissect the tales behind their building structure. Whether you're an architect, contractor, engineer, or just love a good story, this podcast is for you.
Yeah, beam penetrations. That's a fun topic on this project.
Follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Unstruct. From within your walls, hear the story behind how your building stands today.
And to go back to the first lady we were talking about, Frances Perkins, Frances would become the U.S. Secretary of Labor between 1933 to 1945.
Wonderful.
Yeah. It's interesting to learn the origins of Women's Day, how it was influenced and impacted our ladies, and to what they did as a result of it.
It is.
So, like I mentioned, the U.S. is doing its own thing abroad. They're doing them. But still, I think there's a similar reasoning regarding Women's Day. It's more of a demand or a desire for equal rights for women, which leads me to this like second wave of women activism in the 1970s.
The 1970s women's movement, aka second wave feminism, was marked by intense, widespread activism focused on achieving legal, economic, and social equality. Period. Notable from this era in the U.S., we have the 1970 Women's Strike for Equality and the push for the Equal Rights Amendment, also known as ERA. If you believe in equal rights and feel like getting royally pissed off, watch a show called Mrs. America on FX. Have you seen the show?
No. I think we might have talked about this show when we talked about Frances and maybe like the Housers. But I do remember you being pissed. Is this the one with Phyllis Schlafly?
Yes. I thought it was a really good show. Infuriating, but well done. It's about the ERA and why we don't have it today. It's important to know all that history since Jessica and I were not alive to see it. But it gives us context to where we are today. On the show, you get to see a lot of the second wave feminists doing their thing, like Gloria Steinem and Betty Friedan, advocating for workplace, educational, and reproductive rights.
Ooh, wait, is this the one where Shirley Chisholm is also running for president around this time?
Yes.
Okay, so maybe I did see it and I didn't finish it because I knew what the outcome was going to be and it was going to make me mad.
It's sad.
Okay, so back to the story and Women's Day.
Okay.
So we are going to zoom back out and grab our passports because globally in 1975, the United Nations officially began observing International Women's Day.
Oh, hey.
Yes. So 2 years after that, in 1977, the UN General Assembly invited member states to proclaim a United Nations Day for women's rights and international peace. This endorsement transformed International Women's Day from a politically affiliated observance, like in 1911, into a globally recognized civic event.
Amazing.
Yes. So by bringing the United Nations, it basically broadened participation beyond the socialist political networks and helped establish the annual practice of a thematic campaign, which was highlighting a global gender equality issues like economic equity, education, political participation, and violence prevention, which is what we see today.
Yeah, and it can be seen as something less political and more universal.
So, Nojidi, you got global entry? Because I have mine. Because I feel like we're going to go back to the States and we're going to go back abroad and then we're going to go back and then we leave and it just makes it easier. Do you have global entry?
I do. That's how we're flying by.
Yeah, so seamlessly. So back in the States, after this UN assembly in 1978, Sonoma County in California organized a Women's History Week timed to coincide with March 8th.
Great.
And in 1980, President Jimmy Carter issued a proclamation recognizing National Women's History Week. By 1987, Congress designated March as Women's History Month.
Woo! We go from a day to a week to a month.
This was in line with Americans institutionalizing a month-long educational and commemorative approach. In March, we have Women's History Month. The president before Jimmy Carter, President Gerald Ford, he recognized February as Black History Month.
So it was a trend, a good trend. Thank you, Gerald and Jimmy.
So throughout the years, I think the messaging has been pretty consistent on what International Women's Day or Women's History Month was all about. Women's equality in the workplace, in public office, within our bodies, and our general place in the world.
Preach.
Yes, we celebrate how far we've come, highlight the pioneers that paved the way, and encourage the next generation.
This is so true and so great. I'm so glad that you took this on today because I thought International Women's Day was tied to the Triangle Shirtwaist tragedy a lot more. Like we were commemorating that day. So it felt kind of weird to me to say Happy Women's Day thinking we were celebrating a tragedy. And now I know that that tragedy was just one of many instances that led to change. And I'm glad to know the actual day is tied to a big strike, which sparked the whole revolution around the world. This is great. Happy belated Women's Day and happy Women's History Month. Jessica, what do you think about the idea that having a Women's Day is patronizing to women?
Ugh, eye roll. Well, this is audio. They don't see me rolling my eyes.
Yeah. You gotta say it.
So I gotta say it. Well, after learning the history of this month and day, I feel like we need a resurgence of like the event's roots, if that makes sense. Like a fifth wave.
I hear it.
A resurgence of this event's roots. Like, I don't know, a fifth wave of feminism. Like, why don't we just start talking about or protesting about maternity leave in the U.S., birth control, reproductive rights, or making egg freezing more accessible for women.
Yes. Or even child care. Yes. We could also maybe roll it into the present fourth wave, but...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I lost count.
No, you're right. We're in the fourth wave now. You're trying to start a fifth wave.
Future thinking, that's all.
Yeah, maybe we roll it in, but... Anyway,
on the flip side, I think it's even more annoying when people hear about Women's History Month and they say, why don't we have a Men's History Month? Other eye roll. Nerjini, what are your thoughts on that month? Do you think it's patronizing to women?
Well, my friend said it to me in the context of like, ugh, we're women, half the population. We don't need a day. But yeah, I disagree. Like anything else that we have a day or a month about, first of all, it exists for a reason, because the inequalities we face are very real. And the day, the month, is an effort to make a space for keeping it present, voicing our concerns, and taking action. And it's also really important to celebrate how far we've come. Though lately, a lot feels like we're going backwards. But when you study the history like we did today, you really learn, as bad as some of it still is, my goodness, do we have it way better than my grandma. Thanks to everything her generation did and all everyone before her and after her did. And then I think about like, what can I do, you know? So yeah, let's make sure we have to the very least a month dedicated to studying, remembering, and honoring women's history. Because if we don't have a specific intention to do it, then we fall into the old patterns of sweeping it under the rug and perpetuating the incorrect thought that it doesn't exist.
Hear, hear. So earlier this week, globally, we celebrated International Women's Day on the 8th, but all month long, we celebrate women's history. And if you're a she builder, we celebrate every day and twice on Tuesday.
Yeah, we sure do. All day Tuesday.
Well, I really enjoyed this charrette. Hope all of you out there listening enjoyed it too. Please let us know what topics that you would like us to have a charrette on. And you might hear a future episode based on your suggestion.
Before we say goodbye, we want to say thank you to CMYK for the music, John W., our technical advisor, and most of all, thank you for listening.
Remember to check out our show notes for links and further information on this charrette.
Please let us know what you thought of our episode. If you've enjoyed it, help us spread the word. Tell your friends, your charretters, Everybody, tell them to give us 5 stars on iTunes and Spotify and tell them to write us a review. This will all help us reach a wider audience and for more people to learn about these amazing ladies with us.
Your support means everything to us. If you've enjoyed our content and want other ways to help us with our mission, you can support us by visiting our website for merchandise.
If you don't need any more swag, but you'd still like to consider supporting the research we're doing, you can donate to us on our website, shebuildspodcast.com/donate, or you can buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/shebuildspodcast. You can also find links to all of these items on our website.
She Builds Podcast is a member of the Gable Media Podcast Network. Gable Media is curated thought leadership for an audience dedicated to building a better world. Listen and subscribe to all the shows at gablemedia.com. That's GABLmedia.com.
We are excited to hear from you and for you to come back and keep learning about bosses with us. You can email us your thoughts at shebuildspodcast@gmail.com. Leave a comment on our website, shebuildspodcast.com. Or follow us on Instagram and Facebook at She Builds Podcast and on X at She Builds Pod. Until then, see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
I just always look angry and confused. Or like a lost child. I'm always like super close to the computer like... Okay, ready to clap?
Uh-huh.
After you yawn?